The Zohar, what's special about it is that it's without the mind, but by constantly opening for the world, the two worlds in parallel, the world of the emotional terms and the world of the mindly or mental terms. It is the story of this world that a person seems to him that way, and immediately it takes him to the parallel higher degree, and always making this double in steps, a person starts to translate these things within himself till he starts of the obvious from within. When he hears about different words above reason, to see in them the spiritual world, the powers, the way they are connected between themselves and how they operate. And does not reach a state where he depicts different corporeal figures, but everything starts to belong to the operative forces. And the desires that these forces operate in us, it all becomes eternal. And so it simply explains to a person what is their internal in him. A world, very same way you feel this world now, the same way inside yourself you feel another world. And from the different terms and and from the separate orientations, a person, he starts to tie them together more and more, and so to build an inner picture. And suddenly he feels that inside he has a place, Zarampin Da'atzilut, Malchut Da'atzilut, worlds of Bia, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the worlds, souls, angels, the different actions, and the city, and with the land. All these things are internal. When he hears terms, it is clear to him what discernments are these. Immediately, this is what he thinks. And then he comes much closer to perceiving the Zohar correctly. There are many other remedies to the Zohar besides this one, but this is the first remedy. And we have to adapt it as soon as possible. And each desire and pressure and necessity, whoever will succeed in this will succeed in everything. Whoever will not succeed has a problem. It all depends on the persistence. The more he'll hear, read, the more alert he'll be towards what the Zohar aims him to. Today we'll read what we have. And next week we will prepare material, and this is how we'll advance.
Now about hearing, you don't have to read. It's enough to listen, to hear. Of course, you need to know how to read, the reader, that is. All the rest cannot look at any book at all. It's not that it is forbidden, but it is enough to listen so that all these things will work from within you and will crave to feel the picture of what you're telling us about. And I don't know what they're telling us, as if they're speaking in a foreign language. but I want to know what you're talking about. And this is how we start feeling from nothing, from a complete absence of sensation. All of a sudden, precisely the emotions start awakening from within, and here and there, there are some reaction from within. So this is what we are craving for. And especially in the Zohar, because as I have said before, it was written in two levels, and it gives us a parallel, simultaneous language. And therefore, this is how it works. And beside, of course, the fact that we hear different verses, sayings, it is very helpful later on. We will hear. We will hear what we read and heard in different writings of Baal HaSulam. We use them. All Kabbalists throughout all the generations use them. There are such special key verses from the Mikra, from the Gemara, which Kabbalists like use them because they are, these are really key sentences, key verses talking about rules which are out there in Gar of Atzilut, which is the supervising system. This is the system of providence. Or about Zer Anpin of Atzilut, which is, with respect to us, it is already represented as the Creator, blessed He, Malchut of Atzilut, Shechinta, Divinity. And all the relations between them. So we're going to hear a lot about it, many verses, and because we repeat them so much, we will get used to them, and they will be as formulas for us, and that's a good thing, because they really shorten our language, and this is how we will advance in a faster way. Zohar is always talking about unity, connection between the friends, because it was written by the group of Rabbi Shimon, where each of them represents a special quality out of the ten sefirot. For that reason, Rabbi Shimon and his disciples, they are ten sefirot, and each of them, if he's talking, then now it doesn't really matter for us who says and what and why and how. It's hard for us to understand that, but eventually it's obvious that if it is Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chia, Pinchas, and more, so each of them represents a special quality from where he begins to scrutinize the situation. And these scrutinies are important. It is important to know who tells them, but now we won't pay attention for it. And when we bring the Zohar to the people, so we lower, we bring down all these names, we will remove all these names, who said and why and to whom, in order to make things shorter, to give people the ability to be impressed in a more direct way. So it really shortens the text, make it easier, more accessible, and closer to people, closer to the ordinary reader. So this is what we hope, anyway. Therefore, we don't keep. Rabbi Chia went with Rabbi Abba and told him that when they sat together under the trees in Alon Moreh or in the forest of Lud and went from Emek Apulka to Tiberia, etc., etc., etc. So we remove all those things because still these are things, it is enough for us what you're saying. So to add all these secondary discernments, it's important. Of course it is important. And who are we to say that they don't? There is no such thing in the Zohar that it is not important. But still there are things that we have to spoil to make it closer for us, because we are spoiled, we are corrupted. So instead of catching too much, then you catch nothing, at least we will remain with something in our hands. So the Zohar is talking about 10 friends who reveal spirituality, each one from his own angle, but they're working together. And therefore, we mustn't forget about it. It works only in a whole vessel. Because we're talking about a light which is revealed inside a whole vessel. What else? In anywhere, Baal HaSulam explains what three lines are. We also learned. We learned about it in the introduction to the commentary of the Sulam. So we're not going to explain it. The truth is that there are various reasons for that. He didn't have room for that. The three lines need to be interpreted through many examples, because they are the key for every spiritual action there is, in whatever degree it might be, root A, B, C, D, where it's happening, in a certain way that it happens, according to the incorporation, integration of the souls in each and every one, in which incident. So it's very hard. In tests, or even in the introduction, which is called the preface to the commentary of the Sulam, he gives it to us as a pattern, something which is defined and short, very mechanical. In the Zohar, it is perceived in an emotional way and as an example for our work, because it gives it through many examples: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, mothers, Lavan with Jacob, and Eliezer in between, and Rachel, and why it happened this way, and many different. Everything is talking only about three lines, because the smallest correction, and the Zohar talks only about corrections and only in the worlds of Bia, so they are all done through the three lines. There is no correction without the three lines. Therefore, this is the only thing it's talking about. And definitely, we cannot learn anywhere and an emotional place, something we imagine, we picture for ourselves with examples, something alive about our work, about the smallest detail which we encounter, we, in our lives, if it's not from the Zohar. In many cases, the Zohar is talking about, that we'll talk about it later. I can tell you many things. So we'll learn something today, and we'll try for next time to prepare things which we will follow. So it doesn't matter how we're going to read it according to the chapters of the week, parts of the chapters, chosen parts. Zohar is divided into Ra'aya Mehemna, the secrets of the Torah, different parts. And we don't understand what is so special about all these titles. But it doesn't matter. We will choose parts which can be clearer to us, from which we will understand how to organize in us the same order what the Zohar is talking about. The Zohar addresses people. It's talking about our inner order. So therefore, this is how we're going to read it. There are many more things. We will scrutinize everything in the future.
Let's read several passages from the Zohar, Kitisa, Item Nun Dalet, The Love of Friends. All those friends who do not like each other, they leave the world before their time has come. All the friends in the days of Rashbi, there was deep love amongst them, and therefore in his generation the secrets of the Torah were revealed, which is to say that all the friends that do not love each other, they caused themselves not to walk the path of truth. So why are they then called friends? And also previously, those friends who do not love each other, why are they then called friends? Because they yearn for the love of friends. They understand that only in the love between them can they reveal the Creator, the spiritual world, the soul. But what can you do? It's a fact that is revealed before them that they still hate each other and are still distant from one another. Therefore, they're called friends because it is named after the future direction they want to connect. So those who do not love each other, but since they advance, they leave the world before their time has come. If they go forwards, nonetheless, they correct themselves. They leave the world, exit it, meaning that they rise from this world. We're not talking about the bodily death, but we're talking about the correction of the soul and only about that. And all the friends in the days of Rashbi, meaning as the light shined, meaning that he was like the ketel with respect to all his students, then there was the love of nefesh and ruach amongst them, meaning in the days of Rashbi they were about this. And because of this, in his generation, the concealments of the hidden parts of the Torah were revealed. What does it mean in his generation, those times, when he ruled and used to shine and all the friends were in the brotherly love, they revealed within their vessels the secrets of the Torah. It's no longer a secret, they were revealed. And that means that they are in concealment, where it says that all the friends that do not love each other cause themselves not to take the path of truth, meaning that if they are not in a state of brotherly love among themselves and love towards the other, of course this does not bring them to the goal. And also they flaw the Torah, meaning the general light that leaves, because the Torah and love and brotherhood and truth, it's one and the same. But, and there's truth to it. And Abraham loved Isaac, and Isaac, Abraham, and they used to hug each other. Abraham and Isaac are right and left, and each and every one of the friends, and amongst the whole group in general, the right side, the chesed, bestowal, and the left side, the reception, and the will, the general will to receive, cleaved on to each other. And Jacob, both of them, they cling on to him in love and in brotherly love, meaning that the will to receive, as much as it could, the left line, as much as it could include it with the right line, and Jacob was included of both. And they give so-called rucham one to the other. They had, it was in kind of mutuality. And in these three lines, that if in one of them there is missing love, in these three lines, in Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, if there's something missing, then as a result, then the friends, which are the they're the fathers, which are called Chabad, afterwards the Saban, the sons, which are called Chagat, and the Israel, which is called Nehi. So if they connect above these three lines, then of course they cannot attract it to themselves, and the result is that they have a wrong result. Read again, please. All the friends who do not love each other, they leave, they exit the world before the time has come. All the friends in the days of Rashbi, there was the love of Nefesh and Ruach amongst them. The Torah turns to one single person. There is only one with towards one creator, or vis-a-vis one creator. And all that we're talking about are the mental forces within a person. You heard about this principle, or? Let's start reading again and imagine that it is all said only about me and towards myself. Each one should say this to himself, that it all exists in me. All the friends who do not love each other leave the world before their time has come. All the friends in the days of Rashbi, there was love of Nefesh and Ruach amongst them. And for this reason, in his generation, the concealments of the Torah were revealed. He said that all of the friends who do not love each other cause themselves not to take the path of truth. Moreover, they flaw the Torah, because the Torah is love, and there is brotherly love to it in truth. Abraham loved Isaac, and Isaac loved Abraham. They used to hug each other. Jacob, both of them, they held on to him in love and gave their ruach to each other. The friends have to be like them and not to make any flaw in them. If there will be love lacking from them, they harm their value above Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which are Chagat. There is another passage from the Zohar. Zohar, Acharei Mot, friends who hate each other. Zohar, Acharei Mot, friends hate each other. How good and how pleasant it is. These are the friends. While they sit together and are inseparable. In the beginning, they seem as enemies wishing to kill each other. And afterwards, they return to be in love and in brotherly love and fraternity. the Creator says about them, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers unite and sit together, and He includes with them the divinity. And moreover, the Creator listens to their talk, and He has content and with them, and He is very happy for them. As it says, then one spoke to his friend, those who fear the Lord speak to each other, and the Lord hears and writes it down in the book of recollections. And you, the friends, shall not be parted from this till the Creator shall leave you. And there will be peace amongst you, and thanks to you will there be peace in the world. And here it says, for my brothers, my friends, I shall speak peace. We see that it happens the way it happens. Sit, hate each other, can't get along, can't understand. How is it possible to get along? To understand what and how to do, they're prepared only to fight each other. The Zohar says they want to kill each other. What does it say? In the beginning, they seem as enemies wanting to kill each other. Afterwards, they return to be in love. How? Of course, it's not in our ability, but if we sit and continue, meaning each one tries as much as possible to be in katnut, smallness, towards the others, then it happens. Why does the Zohar emphasize it that much? It is the kli where we feel the spiritual world. The truth is that this kli isn't outside of us. And the perception of reality, we understand that everything is within a person. But this is how we read about it, or how we call it. Beyond the framework of my will to receive. So when can they say that they are friends? When they have a deficiency to come to know divinity. Divinity is not something that the Creator has created. It is a collection of souls, the connection between the souls, the general vessel of the souls to connect. This is already a part of divinity. A million connect. Another bigger part. All of the souls unite. This is divinity. Meaning there is no divinity if there is no one to put it together. The more you put it together, the more it exists. The kli in which we reveal the light.
And there's another part which Bencic chose. Wealth and long life. From the Zohar Lech Lecha, wealth and long life. Rabbi Abba, when he came from Babylon, he declared, who wants wealth and who wants long life in the next world? He should go and engage in the Torah. The whole world gathered with him in order to engage in the Torah. A bachelor, hold on, once again. Rabbi Abba, when he came from Babylon, after the exile of Babylon, after the exile of the first temple, he declared, who wants wealth and who wants long life in the next world? He should go and engage in the Torah. So how does he intend to do it? Wealth and long life, these are two lines. People gathered with him from all over the world in order to engage in the Torah. You might say they want wealth and long life. A bachelor, a single person, was in his neighborhood. One day he came to him and told him, I want to study Torah to be wealth. Rabbi Abba told him, certainly you will be rewarded by the Torah and you will be wealth. And he sat and engaged in the Torah. you can explain it according to what the Torah usually explains. The bachelors, the unpaid, they don't prepare a female for him yet, etc. But let's continue. What he doesn't explain, we shall restrain for now. Rabbi said after days, Rabbi, where is the wealth? Rabbi Abba told him, meaning that he doesn't do it for heaven's sake. And he entered his room to settle his mind what to do with him. He heard one voice who told him, do not punish him, for he will be a great man. So he came back to him and told him, sit down, my son, sit down, and I will give you wealth. Meanwhile, another man came and he had a gold vessel in his hands. He shined it and there was light in the home. He told him, Rabbi, I want to be rewarded with the Torah. And I myself did not understand the Torah, and I'm asking someone to engage in the Torah for me, for I have great wealth left to me from my father. While he was sitting at his table, he organized 13 golden cups. And I want to be rewarded in the mitzvah of the study of Torah, and in exchange I will give wealth, richness. He told to this bachelor, available from woman, engage in the Torah, and that person shall give you wealth. That person gave him this golden cup, and Rabbi Abba called him and told him, no gold and gold and glass will be given a golden vessel instead. This man sat down and engaged in the Torah, and that person gave him wealth. After many days, greed came to his eyes. He found him crying, and he asked him, why are you crying? He replied, and what am I giving for that wealth? Why am I neglecting the life of the next world? I don't want to study for that person. I want to be rewarded in the Torah for myself, Rabbi Abba told him. Now it means that you're already engaging in heaven's sake. He called that person and told him, take your wealth and give it to the orphans and to the poor, and I will give you a bigger share in the Torah in everything that we study. He gave him back his golden cup, for there is no better reward in the world as he who engages in the Torah, and there is no need for reward for it, as it is written, Lo yarchen azahav eschuchit, there is no value of gold and glass for it. Who can explain it? Let's try a little bit. Well, Niv, you can sit down. The first one, the bachelor, this is the degree of fear, reward and punishment. And the other one, the wealthy one, it is in order to receive, in order to bestow. So these are the two degrees. This is what I think. Who else? A little bit more. So I think it seems a gradual way of the participation of the will to receive and the will to bestow. Every time there is something else more tempting to come closer to spirituality from a higher degree, let's say wealth, and then from Lolishma, not for her name, he finally comes to her name. So again, he needs something else to tempt him. More. Don't be shy. Share your thoughts with us. There's the point of three lines here. The will to bestow. A person is standing on the middle line. He needs to decide which direction he should take, bestow or reception. So he's sharing his wealth with the orphaned and the poor. The bachelor, meaning he has no vessels and he wants vessels, silver kesef, kisufim, to have a yearning. And he receives a yearning which is in order to receive, meaning he receives a vessel which is not for her name, Lolishma. And then when the light of Torah spreads in him from the vessel of Lolishma, he doesn't need that old vessel of Lolishma, now a new vessel formed of Lishma for her name. And then he can pass the vessels of Lolishma, not for her name, to the orphans and poor who still don't have the vessels of not Lishma yet. Not for her name yet. More. These are his vessels. The bachelor, a will for a will was awakened in him. And when wealth comes to him, something which awakens that desire, the desire that the point of a desire which he had, this is what allows him to discover other desires which are orphans and poor people, and to awaken additional desire from the desire for the desire which he had to start with. It starts from Rabbi Abba, who came from Babylon. He probably came out of the shells and came to a place where he could start working with his desires. And then he attached desires which are called bachelor at first. He doesn't understand, he doesn't have a clear deficiency yet. And then it's clear to him that his desires for gold, paz, zahav, his desire, it becomes clearer for him. And then every time it goes through katnut, smallness, he sits down and cries, sits down and cries. There, going through smallness and greatness, all these desires, all these phases. And eventually he knows what he wants and he gets it.
What?
More. Okay, more or less. Read again.
Rabbi Abba, when he came from Babylon, he declared, whoever wishes riches and prolonged life in the next world will engage in the Torah. The whole world gathered by him in order to engage in the Torah. A bachelor, this man, single, who had no woman, lived in his neighborhood. One day he came to him and told him, I want to study Torah in order to be rich, in order to have riches. Rabbi Abba told him, certainly will you merit riches by the study of the Torah. Then he sat and engaged in the Torah. As the days went by, he said, Rabbi, where is the wealth? Rabbi Abba said, meaning that you are not doing for heaven's sake. He entered his room and sat down to think what to do about him. He heard each one saying, do not punish him, for he shall be a great man. He returned to him and told him, sit, my son, sit, and I shall give you wealth. Meanwhile, came this one person, and in his hands a golden vessel. He took it out, and it glowed in the house, and he said, Rabbi, I wish to merit the Torah, and I myself have not merited to understand the Torah, and I'm asking for someone to engage in the Torah for me. For I have a great wealth that my father has left for me during the time that he sat at his table. He put on it 13 glasses, golden glasses, and I wish to merit the precept of the study of the Torah, and for this I give riches. The bachelor said, engage in the Torah, and this man shall give you wealth. That man gave him that golden cup, and Rabbi Abba told him, you shall not mix gold and glass, and in return will receive a golden vessel. Sat and engaged in the Torah, and that person gave him wealth. Engaged in the Torah, as the days went by, this one day he sat and cried. As Rav found him crying, he asked him, what are you crying about? He said, for this wealth, I postpone the next world. I no longer want to study for the man, but I want to merit the Torah for myself. Rabbi Abba said, then you are already doing for heaven's sake. He called upon that man and told him, take your wealth and give it to the orphans and the poor, and I shall give you a greater portion of the Torah in all that we study. He gave him back the golden cup, for you have no greater reward in the world than he who engages in the Torah. And you need no reward in return, as it says, he shall not do something with the gold and the glass, and in return receive this golden vessel. Okay, well, what do you think? Is it possible to penetrate through this? To penetrate inwards through this? Or is it a hard story? And what style is it better for us to hear? Well, it's very hard, but how can we know that? Well, each one of us said his opinion. No one knows how he advances. No one. You have no possibility to measure whether you're advancing correctly or not, but according to the results. The results are, if you interpret them correctly, they are in the others, whatever seems to you as the others. You have this imagination that there's you and the others, and then when you try every time to measure how you ascribe to the others, alongside with the hatred, with the rejection, with the indifference, to refer some importance to the spirituality, the spiritual ascent, that nonetheless you understand more and more that the spirituality is there in the other. Eventually I find out that the other is me, but for the time being, what seems to me as the other. Meaning, the more I understand that my faith depends on how I'm connected today with those who seem to me outside of myself. This is the condition from above. Whether I understand it or not, it's not important. Completely unimportant. And of course, it's not going to be me realizing this, neither in the future. How can I know? Accordingly. I have no choice. I'm obliged to do it this way, to engage in the Book of Zohar along with the friends. That all of us are, for all of us to live it, feel the same phenomena as the authors of the Zohar felt, what the students of Rabbi Shimon felt, what he told through them, he expressed their mutual vessel through them. This is what I want to feel. And that's it. You need neither mind or anything. It's devotion that you do it in the group with the friends, with these friends that the Zohar writes about. They're also the friends. And that's it. Together. There are no other examinations. Only whatever seems to you as the others to connect to it, and in it to reveal the spiritual world the Zohar talks about. That's it. But time after time that we delve into it and want to feel this, do it this way, it'll go, it will work, it will ignite. Yes, Owen. The exertion and the delving, should it be like now you've asked the friends, what do you think, and each one said what he thinks, or like you said in the beginning, before we read, you said that I have to get into it like Chinese, and I want this reality to open before me. Not by Chinese, I didn't say Chinese. I said there are two languages here, the emotional language, which I depict as reading here before me, and the language through which the Zohar takes me into some spiritual discernments. It's the two worlds in parallel. It's not Chinese. I yearn to know what he's talking about because I don't know what he's talking about, but I have the yearning to grab onto him, and I need to grab onto something. It should be, one thing should be clear to me, that we're talking about two levels of perception. With respect to me, it's two levels. In truth, it's one level. There's only the spiritual picture. But I, for the time being, divide it into two. Or more correctly, I divide it into one. I don't divide it at all. What I understand in my ego, that's how it is. But I have to imagine, depict for myself an additional spiritual level, and these two levels existing in me in parallel. And I wish to elevate myself from the corporeal story to the spiritual story. Yes. Whoever wants to fall asleep can fall asleep, by the way. It's not morning lesson test. Feel free to fall asleep. Don't snore or something, but no problem. Feel free. All of us are incorporated around the same teaching. Now, specifically, it's the Book of Zohar. There's the friends, what each one thinks. Meaning, it's possible that there's a different style of study here. We are getting into a different style of study. It will take time. It will take several weeks. And afterwards, it will constantly improve. But to get into it will take several weeks. We'll have to talk a lot and to read and again say something and to read again and again to say something. This is how it's going to happen. The Zohar, it is a different teaching than anything else. Yes. Usually it's the student and the teachers. Now it's a gathering of friends together that are gathered around one topic, and each gave his discernment. You're right. Sorry that I cut you off, because I want to add. You're right. The Zohar is a more of a group teaching with the friends. Eventually you'll see. Here and there, maybe I'll only give eventually, you know, a bit of some emphasis on something or some kind of a correction and direction, but all the rest, it's you. And it's more reading than talking. In the beginning, we'll talk a bit more, and afterwards, it's going to be almost fluent reading without any talk at all, because we'll be on such a course where we'll be able to interpret what he says, and we will try to feel it inside, and we will wait for this picture to clear up within me, and I'll live it, and I'll anticipate this whole inner occurrence, thing happening. And it's especially in reading. By the Rabash, we simply sat and read each one. Evening lesson, 10, 15 friends. Each one reads a passage without interpretation, without anything. Sometimes you can hear, I didn't even record it, because there was nothing to record. Sometimes he used to add a word, half a sentence that was somehow clear. Because the Zohar is only in order for you to delve into it in order to depict the thing. It's completely emotional. And the mind is in order to get you back to the feelings, so you won't like float away into some fantasies, but it's in order to stabilize the feelings. So we'll read more and more, and I hope that in an hour and a half that we'll read, we will be able to get much done, really, you know, straight out. Yes.
But what should we imagine? Is this a kind of trip, images, figures? What should I imagine behind it? I need no images, I need no trip. I need a trip into my soul. I need images which are qualities in me. I need relations. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi are sitting, walking, tree, a hill, a donkey. What is happening there? All those things. I don't even know that this is a donkey, a hill, or a tree. I'm reading about it, but I'm completely ignored these paintings of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chiya, a donkey, a hill, a road, they're sitting, there's a tree. It's not before me, that image. It's not before me. It's not in front of me. Instead, I have my inner emotions. What these qualities truly are, to the extent that I don't feel anymore. Say, for example, in the street, the embracement of the right. So people think that you embracement with the right hand, or say striking on the street. People will think that you're a pervert. You sleep someone and then you couple with him. So what can people think? And you don't even think about such a thing. You're already used to it. You understand what we're talking about. We say such things that we don't even think that there's something wrong about it, that's something weird. It's impossible. Adhesion, dvekut. All different kinds of things we say and we use. Therefore, this is how we have to come to a situation where there is no image. In me, emotions pop out, they connect, they separate when I'm reading about it, and I don't feel that I read the word a donkey or a bull or a sky or the Nile or gold and wind, spirit, any of it. There are no such words. I don't feel them as people in this world do. It will come to us as a result from reading. I'm telling you from my experience. And we have to be there already. Yes, Gadi. in the first part of test, Baal HaSulam writes that if the study, he who studies, won't know the definitions well, he will be confused when he studies this wisdom in the Zohar. And you've been through all the definitions, so how much can this student rely on his emotions? He should listen and imagine to himself as much as he can. He should try, at least, that this image, this picture, will appear in him, will protrude from within. That's it. Doesn't matter. Not more than that. This is not a test where we have to know the definitions mechanically. Here I simply have to feel. To feel. And also to feel in a way that I don't care about those words. It's like sometimes I'm hearing a language which I can understand to a certain extent. So I have a general idea of what they're talking about. Is it clear to you? So from 50 words they used, I understood 20. And I got the topic more or less, what they're talking about more or less, which direction the conversation is taking. And some, I understood the story in a general way. This is what I need. I don't need clear, precise words. We won't know any of it anyway. I have to feel these things. And the feeling that I will feel, it will be like a baby in this world. More or less he knows that something happening, something is moving. Something is moving. What moves? I don't know. I took my grandson today. I showed him cars. I understand these are cars. What he understands about it? He understands that something is moving. He doesn't understand any more than that. So from such pictures that something is happening, something is turning around, this is what we need for now. Something which is very vague, but that it should start happening in us.
And the rest, try to hear, and only hearing, you need nothing else. And constantly work inside on an inner creation. It's work. It's really inner creativeness, inner creation. I'm telling you from experience. I sit, I read, I want it to, and on it were 13 glasses of gold, and I want to merit the precept of the study of the Torah, and I give all wealth and riches for it. Where is it happening in me so that something changes? These are things that aren't that more tangible things from our lives. Constantly be in correspondence with what you hear and anticipating to feel inside. Envision, like in theater, how it changes, how it happens.